It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you grow your e-commerce business faster and more efficiently by cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and guidance from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello, Master Plan World. Welcome to our latest podcast. It's a pleasure to have you all out there listening. I'm Chloe Thomas, the creator of the E-commerce Master Plan. I'm an author, speaker, and advisor, and I focus on e-commerce business strategy and marketing. You can join in the chat about this episode and anything else e-commerce in our Facebook group that you will find at ecommercemasterplan.com/Facebook. Next up, I want to introduce you to today's special guest. Sully is the CEO and founder of Bomb Tech Golf, designing, manufacturing and selling golf clubs direct to consumers. They launched in 2012 and are on track for $7 million turnover in 2017 with a 50% year-on-year growth. Now, that's pretty impressive. So I'm looking forward to this one and I hope you are too. Hello, Sully.
How are you? Thank you for having me.
That's great to have you here. And I'm good. Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm on my second cup of coffee, so I'll be good on my third. But no, I'm excited to be here. You know, it's not golf season right now, but love to be on the podcast.
Awesome. Well, look, I've just given our listeners a very quick overview of you and your business and where you are at the moment. But how did you get into e-commerce in the first place?
It was not planned. To be candid with you. So I was a sales rep for many different companies. My last job I had, I was actually a sales director for an engineering firm. And I got fired. And before I got, it's the best thing that ever happened. But at the time it didn't feel like that. But before that firing happened in 2011 is when I really started try stuff online. Mm-hmm. I was obsessed with golf. I mean, I would go no matter what to the driving range or golf course every day.
Wow.
And my story, I was trying to compete in this niche of golf called long drive. Mm-hmm. And I was terrible, but I enjoyed it. So long drive's like the home run derby of golf, right? So I started having a guy locally build special golf clubs, golf drivers specifically for me.
So this is literally who can drive the ball the furthest.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. And I wasn't good, but I really loved it. Mm-hmm. And this local club builder that was building these, he was assembling these different drivers for me. And because I was so obsessed, I had like 40 different drivers.
Whoa.
It was pretty crazy. And I actually ended up breaking almost all of them. And I like to think it was from my sheer power and strength, but that was not true. So kind of out of necessity, I started building different clubs, drivers for my friends, you know, wholesaling different components. And then one day I was having a couple beers, which is standard. And I was talking to an old university roommate of mine. I'm like, man, you know, I'm starting to sell a little bit. I mean, I sold like $1,000 in custom drivers in like our 2011. I said, you know what? I just, of the few things I've sold, we've had issues with them or they're out of stock. I go, I really want to build my own design, my own product. And my university, you know, old flatmate, he's like, well, why don't you call the University of Vermont where we went to school and see if they would help you? Wow. And I was like, dude, I was the worst student. Like, I mean, it took me 5 years. You know, it was not, they didn't know me for my academics. Mm-hmm. And so I called them up and we started talking and they said, yeah, well, they actually have a capstone project every year. You get to work with four senior students. And I worked with four students for a year. And together we somehow hit a home run or a long drive, like we like to call it. And we made a driver design and I was like, well, let's go for it. And I spent some money because I was making decent money at my pharmaceutical sales job. I made it. And just through Facebook, this is old school Facebook. This is when pages had insane reach.
Yep.
I just started talking to people, telling them before I even had the club, I'm thinking about coming with a driver. I'm designing one. So I was starting, unbeknownst to me or what I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just documenting stuff. And I was able to build a following, which allowed me to launch the brand. But to your question, I never really intended to start. I kind of just was bored of my job, was obsessed with this, and just kind of went for it with no expectations of it being what it is today.
So literally it was you were just trying to solve this problem. You got the university on board, created this product. People wanted it. So it was like, oh, we better sell it to them.
Yeah. And I started, like, when we started designing it, this is, like, looking back, was probably my best move that I didn't know I was doing. Mm-hmm. I literally just asked questions. I was like, what, these always sound weird when it's golf. what color shaft do you want? What color head do you want? What length driver do you play? All these just basic questions. Mm-hmm. But I only had like 1,000 followers, right, on Facebook. And so people would engage and they felt like they were actually building the brand and club with me. You know, like literally everything with the process, I literally use them as feedback.
Yeah.
And that really got them involved. So when it was like, I think it was March of, I think it was 2012, I had our first sample made and I went out and hit it. And this is the craziest thing. I went out, it was only two prototypes. Mm-hmm. I hit it. I went, it was like a day like today. It was like 30 degrees, snow on the ground. And I was like, I don't care. And there was one other guy at the range with me. And I went out there with a hood on, like sunglasses. So I didn't want anyone to see what I was doing, right?
Well, just in case it only went 10 feet. It's like,
exactly. I was freaking out. Yeah. So I started hitting it. And the first one I hit like dead straight, like 300 yards. I'm like, no way. I'm like, oh my God, this thing's insane. And this guy actually, that was a much better golfer at the golf course, at the driving range. He's like, hey, what is that? I go, oh, it's a bomb tech. It's like, what the hell's bomb tech? I'm like, oh, I designed this driver with the University of Vermont. And I started pitching him on, you know, just telling him.
Yeah.
He's like, that's it. Nope. BS. It's not possible. I'm like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. I'm like, you want to hit it? And he hit it. He took two swings and he was a good golfer. And he looks at me and he's like, how's this possible? I'm like, oh man, he hates it. And he's like, I just hit that farther and straighter than my brand name club. And he actually right there bought it. It was like,
whoa,
that moment like blew my mind.
How
like,
much more proof of concept do you need? It's like,
it was insane. So literally that night I put the clubs on pre-order before I even had them, like why they were meant, because the cost of manufacture was kind of high.
So you were kind of doing a Kickstarter of your own before Kickstarter existed.
Yeah. Same thing. It was just stuff I was doing to survive, kind of make it happen. So I launched a pre-order because I only had like 1,000 people, and I think we did like 12 or 15,000 on pre-order without even having the product in stock.
Wow!
So for me, that was pretty rad. You know, I was pretty pumped about that, and that's kind of how we. I was like, okay, this club looks legit, and then everything else was a mess for a couple of years, and now we're we're all about systems and processes. But I don't know if I even answered your question, but yeah, that was.
I think you did. You answered an awful lot of other questions along the way, but you definitely answered the question. So I do want to get into kind of the story behind the business and what you've done to grow it and everything. But first off, let's just cover off a few key facts about the business so everyone out there can quickly get to grips with you. So you're in America and you're selling just to the US or wider afield?
Well, we just opened up worldwide, which has been game changing. So we ship. We've got a fulfillment center in California, and we now ship everywhere.
Excellent.
Anywhere and everywhere. So that's and a lot to the UK and Ireland and all these places we never thought we'd be shipping to. So it's great.
Cool. So all the golfers who are going, oh my God, I need that driver, which is just what golfers do. they're going to know exactly where to go by the time we get to the end of this podcast.
Sounds good.
And, you know, presumably you sell more than drivers now. You're doing the whole range of golf clubs. Do you do anything in addition to golf clubs?
Good question. So yeah, we finally have a full set. We've got irons, drivers, three woods, hybrids launching, a putter. So we've got everything, which has been, that took a while to build up, you know, different molds and different SKUs. And we do have for the holidays, we just launched beer putt. Have you ever played a beer pong?
It's not big in the US, in the UK rather, but I know what you mean because of movies.
Yeah, it's a game, but it's the same concept, but with putting. So it's called beer putts. We just launched that. It's actually our first item that anyone could use, non-golfer or golfer. So that's kind of exciting.
Nice.
So that's exciting. But yeah, we got full sets and life is good. People keep buying them and they don't return them. So I can't complain.
Yeah, I like that. And just so everyone knows who's listening, we're recording this in late 2017 and you'll be listening to it in 2018. So that's why we're talking about Christmas. And what platform have you decided to do all this selling on?
So we sell 99% off our own website, very little on Amazon or other third parties. It's nice. Literally from our own. Yeah, it's great. We use BigCommerce. Getting to BigCommerce was a nightmare because I started with Intuit, went to Wix, went to Volusion, and then finally went to BigCommerce. So when I went to BigCommerce, everything was stable. I couldn't break the website. It was all, not to say anything negative about the other platforms, but the other one before Volusion, any kind of custom code we did or edit, like just to make it look how we wanted, I was spending so much with developer and it just kept breaking checkout. And at that time, every sale, because that's when I had gotten fired, was literally, or every sale that I knew someone couldn't check out, I literally felt physically ill.
Yeah.
I swear to God, it was so bad. So BigCommerce, I've been on there for, God, 2 or 3 years now. And we just used a basic template, like $199 template. And we've made some customizations for speed and the checkout page. We've done head-to-head against Shopify. And we actually, this is for us, BigCommerce won with the same elements there. I don't think the platform matters too much as long as it's stable. And you know, people can check out. You know, I think there is design elements, you know, you need, but
You have to find the right platform for you, don't you? And for you, BigCommerce is the one, and it sounds like it's been great. And it's like for other people, it'll be something different, but it's about making sure you find the one that ticks the boxes for you. And that's a very personal decision, I always think.
Yeah, I'm not ever in love with like a certain platform, but if it works, and we can implement quickly and move fast and get it to work a little better, great. Like we are launching a membership site and another service, and we're using ClickFunnels for that because BigCommerce just doesn't make sense because it's, you know, it's a membership, so there's no physical product exchange really. We're down to try whatever. But I mean, we've got so many logins. Some days I'm like, dude, I don't even know where to go.
And those two new angles, the membership site and the service business, I'm assuming those are both golf focused.
Totally. Yeah. So this has actually been 2 years in concept. We are launching. Yeah, I've been talking about this forever. So the guys in the office are like, thank God we're doing it. So you can shut up. But so January 1, so probably after this podcast goes live, it should be live. It's just bombtechgolfacademy.com. And essentially, it's a membership area. I think we're starting out. It's going to be normally $40 a month. But for anyone that's on our list or has bought product, I think it's going to be $9 a month. And essentially, it's an online lessons, virtual lessons area. So we just shot 80 videos this week with a long drive pro. Mm-hmm. And we got another couple shoots. So we're going to have, you know, I don't know how many hours of actual footage, so you can actually go and improve your game from home. We are going to have like limited edition clubs there, special pricing. And the goal is to have some recurring revenue because this market already exists. There's some major players and we already have a huge audience in golf that has asked for this. Mm-hmm. How do you fix your slice? How do you hit it straighter? And I'm super excited because if we can do that, our goal is 20,000 members at $9, which would be about 180,000 a month ongoing. The goal is if we can do that, we can launch even more products and we can be more predictable. So I'm really excited because I've never done that. But we have a couple thousand people signed up with no promotion. So that's a good sign.
That's a very good sign. There's other people out there who've got membership sites going, you are kidding me. No promotion and he's got four figures. You're doing well.
Like, I mean, we've been doing Bomb Tech, you know, and we've got such a loyal fan base and I'm so lucky. That know us and they can touch and see our actual product. So I think that allows the non-physical side to maybe be an easier transition, but I don't know yet. I have not proved it. And anytime we think something, it usually isn't the case. So they'll tell us, our customers will find out. And then the other thing we're launching, we just got the website up today, youshipwedip.com. where it's we do these limited edition like snakeskin covered drivers and different camo looking, just different custom paint on your clubs.
All right.
So you could just send in, you know, a Bomb Tech or another brand, send it to us, and we'll actually go from, you know, boring to freaking cool, and we'll send it back to you. So we'll dip it.
I like it. So they don't have to buy the limited edition.
Yeah, yeah. So if you already have
they can take whatever they've got and get the look.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of guys are, I mean, me included, we're not pros, right? And, you know, we're not going to ever be pros, but we want to look cool, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's like, take your club that, you know, make it look insanely awesome, and it's not going to be super expensive. And we just had so much success with that previous. And it's like, yeah, you already have a driver. You don't have to buy a new club from us. That'd be great. But no, so we, again, another proof of concept based around our same market.
Excellent. I like the expansion that's going on here. What else do I need to ask you? Oh, what does your team look like? How many of you are there achieving all of this at Bomb Tech? And
we are very lean. Every time I tell people this, most of them freak out. So, and a lot has changed, but as of right now, there's me, I'm the owner. I work about 20 hours a week on the business. I don't answer emails. I don't answer phones. I don't do any day to day. I do mostly come in and we shoot video, and that gives us content, and we'll talk about, you know, big ideas and strategies like at the Academy, the dipping business. So that's really my role right now. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a general manager, Chris. He does all the day-to-day inventory, forecasting, is the website broken, are sales good, and he does email. So he's an email expert. We just got featured in Klaviyo as a case study because
cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, I think it was like highest ROI ever, I don't know, from email. Something cool, but we're doing like 36 to 40% of revenue from email.
Which is
great. I mean, we got so many automations. So he really, his biggest goal is to send emails that convert, right? So that's what he spends most of his time doing. And then we have one customer service guy, Alex, which sounds crazy, but Chris will help him. And then we have a full-time video guy as well in-house where he just edits videos and shoots video all day. And we have actually a third party, like a, I don't know if you call it freelance, but he's got his own business too, but he does all of our ads. So he optimizes all of our ads. So that's how many guys? Four guys? Five guys? And then a fulfillment center. So we don't pick, pack, or ship anything ourselves. That move we made last year, we had to move three times, but they're world class. And man, that move to the current fulfillment center we have was probably the biggest cost savings and game changer we've made, you know, in terms of systems and operations. They're just so dialed in.
It's such a specific set skill set and headache fulfillment. If you can get out of your hands to a reliable partner who specializes in it, it just makes everything so much more straightforward, doesn't it?
I mean, if you knew, I used to assemble these clubs myself in my basement of my house while I was on the phone doing live chat. I mean, like literally, like if you. To look at the business a couple years ago to what it is now is like kind of mind-blowing. So I do want to dive into this real quick. So
go for it.
I was assembling the clubs because I thought we needed custom built, and I thought I needed to build them. And no one actually wanted custom. That's just what I knew. So, no, it's really, this is crazy. So I did that, and then I was like, oh, my God, I cannot physically build another club. It's working 20 hours a day, every day. And that's when I just had my first kid. He was a newborn, and it was, you know, I'm running chop saws in the basement, or it was insane, but I had to do it, right? This is how I got it going. And then I outsourced it to a local assembly plant. Mm-hmm. And they were not a fulfillment center, right? They were okay at assembling and they were terrible at shipping, and our rates were out of control.
Yeah.
They couldn't handle the demand. It was a nightmare. So we moved again to another place, and I was like, these guys still are much better. And they were in Massachusetts, which is close to me. And I wanted to be close enough to strangle them. And then, I mean, that was my goal, because I always was driving down to the other, you know, manufacturer, like checking on them every week. And then at one point, I don't know what the moment was, we're like, all right, where is it going to be our best rates for shipping? And I'm like, dude, we ship, our highest, you know, location for shipping is California. then it's Texas and Florida. So I'm like, why do we have a place in Massachusetts? We did an audit of all our shipping. We're like, okay, if we have a fulfillment center in California, we're going to save like a ton of money. And then with their shipping rates, which are half of ours. So this year alone, not only are they 100%, 99.9% accurate, we don't have to think about it. We don't have to talk about it. Everything now becomes barcoded for a manufacturer, ships out same day before three, and we probably save $400,000 this year. So it's like that. It was such a struggle to go from that to where we are, but man, that was game changing.
What I really like about the way you've approached building the team and the what you outsource piece is that you've worked out where the opportunity is, and then you've kind of doubled down. It's like you've gone, right, email is brilliant. Right, let's get someone permanently on email doing everything we possibly can to build out that channel. And then it's like, right, video and content is big. Let's bring that in-house as well. Ads, we need an expert. Let's get someone permanently on that. And let's just get rid of the outsourcing. But then let's make the fulfillment. And then let's make it really work for us. So I love the fact you've kind of gone, this is where it works for us. This is where we're going to play. And that's where we're going to invest. I think a lot of e-commerce businesses spend their time trying to tick every box rather than going, where's the money?
If you knew me, I don't have the word frugal, but if it doesn't drive revenue, or if it doesn't, you know, impact business in a significant way, like there's no reason for it. We're so lean. But I think everyone else is running fat. You know, they've got, you know, digital marketing, you know, specialists and like content manager. They got like, you know, they're doing less revenue, but they got 10 more people than I do.
Yeah.
And it's like, it blows my mind. I'm like, man, what's your payroll? And I'm like, okay, we're doing like 1.2 or 1.4 million per person. I'd rather be where we're at. And our customers are happy. So it's not like end of the day, everything we do, it's for growth, but really for customer satisfaction. And like that really, that was the other big shift we had, not only in terms of roles, but for goals. Like we used to have revenue goals. Now we have customer goals. Like our only goal is to wow people with the unexpected. So like literally every chance we have, we will invest or lose money if there's an issue to make someone happy so they'll buy again. And that was a big shift too, because back when I used to get like a return or a refund, I would literally try to talk the guy out of it. I'm like, how many swings do you take? Can you take some more swings? Because it cut deep, right? It hurt. But I really found out, I forget when this transition happened, but when we started wowing people, like someone had something come damaged or like someone had a driver stolen, right? Not by us. Someone just stole it. We sent a brand new club. No questions asked. Yeah. Do you know what that guy did? He made a video. He posted everywhere. That guy now told 500 people that BombTech Golf is the greatest company in the world because they sent me a free. And dude, there's scammers out there. There's people going to do it. But in whole, I trust people and I trust their customers, and we'll do whatever it takes for them. And having that crazy of a mindset, awesome things happen. You know, that's really word of mouth and growth, is because it's not about the money. You know, as long as we're surviving, we'll take care of you no matter what.
I'm incredibly impressed at any business who's that kind of far-seeing, I suppose. But also, due to the fact you're a salesman and you've taken the leap towards the goal being, you know, your history is to be a sales director, to be a salesperson, and then to take the leap from that arena where it's all about the money to a space where it's all about the customer satisfaction, I think is remarkable.
I'll still close you on a deal, but it's after the deal. It's really where everyone like drops the ball, right? Like, so we do handwritten notes to every customer. You know, we do welcome series. Like we do anything and everything to make sure when the first sale happens, they feel like a part of the team. Everyone else sees that first sale and then it's like, okay, it's over. Cool. We got the sale. It's like, no, we got that customer. Now what can we do to make them feel like the most important person and our only customer in the entire world? And that mindset is what everyone has in the office. So like, they don't even have to come to anyone to make a decision, whether it's Alex, you know, or Chris or whoever. Like, they have something they need to fix. I'm like, dude, use a credit card, send them free clubs, whatever they need. make them happy, and really just really figuring out, like, and asking people, like, are you actually happy? Because we thought we were solving problems before, and people actually weren't happy with solutions until we, like, really were like, okay, that's what they expect. Let's just do the unexpected, what they won't expect us to do. That's it, you know?
Yeah, just making sure it's as good as it could be.
That's it.
So, oh man, where do we go next? I'm like, that's so cool. So actually, let's talk about the selling and the trust factors, because your homepage is, yeah, let's talk about the homepage, because your homepage is very different to what a lot of e-commerce businesses would have. It's kind of more of a infomercial, I would say, but an infomercial with a huge amount of trust and guarantee and reassurance for the customer. Is that something that you always wanted it to be like, or did you slowly work your way up to putting it in that way?
That's a good question. I think really the biggest, like, takeaways or actions that move the needle for, like, website design or branding is really attaching a person to the brand. So, like, mm-hmm. I'm all over the website. We've got people on there's videos on every product page, multiple ones. And if you follow us on social media, whether I like to or not, I go on video as much as I can, as long as I have something valuable to say. And that was a big turning point for the business, was really, God, what year was that? Right when Facebook had video, like, not to date myself, I started before Facebook had video, before selfies were a thing. Think about that. Oh. I know. So I remember I was exhausted, didn't sleep at all, like, the night before with my kid. And I was like, I got to make a video. Like, we're not doing any videos. This is when it's by myself. And I went in the backyard with a little, like, $100 camera, and I hit a drive in the backyard into my net, and I posted it, and the drive sounded impressive. It sounded loud. I said, what does your driver sound like? And I boosted it for like $300 back then, right? Mm-hmm. And I was getting, I think I got 350,000 views and like 10,000 comments.
Wow.
And you know what I did? I went through every single comment and commented, and I engaged at scale. And like that was really the key. Was number one, I attached a human, whether I was the attractive character or not. Mm-hmm. So people were buying, it felt like they were buying from me, which they were, mm-hmm. not just some empty faceless brand. And number two, if I put content out there, I got a reaction, good or bad. I've got haters like you would not believe, which is cool.
Yeah, that's kind of a sign you're doing something right, isn't it? If you've attracted haters.
It didn't feel like that at first, but yeah. I get it now. But yeah, I just really took the effort without knowing what the return on investment would be back then to comment with everyone. Cause I was like in shock. I'm like, oh my God, this is getting this much engagement. I might as well really understand what their questions are, their concerns are, and talk to them straight, like, just be straight up, be an act. Cause people buy from BombTech cause they can relate to me as, like, the average dude, which mm-hmm. I am, you know, they just feel like I'm not a stuffy, you know,
you're not
golfer.
The pro, you're just another golfer.
No pro, yeah. So, yeah, I'm just the average dude that they can relate to, and brand. We're like, I wouldn't say the Weekend Warriors brand, but yeah, it's just one of those things. So, like, the website, we like to reflect that, and, you know, it's all about every single thing of marketing comes from me. Everything is signed, or email signatures are mine, so they feel like they're buying from me, and that was a huge piece of it. And then, like, on the website, we try as much video as we can, ton of reviews, which are just happen when you sell a lot of product. And, yeah, make a guarantee loud and proud and have phone numbers everywhere. So we want people to call us. You know, we want to talk to people. I think that's a big mistake I see where, you know, I talked to a lot of people starting out. Like, yeah, I don't know if I want someone to call me. Well, guess what? You shouldn't be in business. Or I don't know if I can have a guarantee. What if they want to return it? Okay, you shouldn't be in business. You know, or you shouldn't be selling that product. I mean, be confident in what you got. And if you're not, don't sell it, number one. And then number two, you better be able to communicate and want to talk to your customers. And if you don't, it's still a business. It's just because it's online doesn't mean you don't have to talk to people, you know?
Exactly. Because it's like your guarantee is a bit above and beyond, isn't it? What is it, 60 days on course test.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, literally,
you can use that club for 60 days and go, I don't like this.
Totally. And we've had people, like, I don't even care if people know this. We've had people use it for a year. And they said, I don't know. I don't like it now. I'll send it back. I don't even care. I'm saying, like, when we go above and beyond, if someone really has an issue and it's even way out that window, we're not going to fight them on anything. Like, literally, anyone asks us anything, we'll do it. As long as it's not, you know, endangering my life. I mean, really, it's like, why would I argue with someone that's, like, on day 90? And, like, let's say it's something come up. He wants to return. What am I going to get? Or have our guys be like, dude, argue with him. Like, no, okay, no problem, man. We'll hook you up. It's not a normal policy. You know, give some frame of reference. Like, all right, it's normally 60, but we'll hook you up. Every time we've done that, you know what they do right then?
What?
They buy another club.
Really?
Every time.
Because they know you're low risk. They know if this club doesn't work for them either, they can come back to you and it'll be fine.
It's not like they're being vindictive or trying to win you over. There is such a small percent that, yeah, they're going to buy it and be like, oh, man, I'm going to play this all season. And I'm going to get that guy Sully. And I'm going to return it. The amount of people that – I mean, they're not – but that's how people think as business owners. The amount of people that actually do that is probably less than a half of a tenth of a percent. It's like no one. So it's like if someone does it, they just didn't have enough time to get on the course or they had some issue come up. And I'm okay with extending whatever we have to make them truly happy. Because what they're either going to be pissed and never buy again, or you're going to wow them and they're going to give you another shot, or they're going to tell people. So it's like, do all in or all out. I'm all in.
Well, you know, and worst case scenario, which is probably quite likely, they're going to be carrying your clubs around, moaning about them to anyone else they play golf with. And it's like, whoa, we don't want that out there.
Exactly. Same thing.
Okay, I think we're going to have to go into the top tips round, although I could quite frankly continue this conversation for quite a lot longer. I think we should probably get on with it. I love this section because it gives all of us some really great tips. Not that we haven't had several of those already today, but some really great tips to take our business to the next level. So, Sully, first up is your book top tip. Please, if everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Oh, God, I knew this would be a question. I actually don't read books.
That's allowed? That's okay?
Okay.
So is that no recommendation there or something else to do on Friday that would help their business?
I'm big into podcasts, so I listen to a lot of podcasts. You know, your podcast, a couple other ones. I think if you can just listen to different podcasts and look for one tactical tip that you can then use without getting overwhelmed. I see more people go deep, read 20 books, watch every podcast, read every blog, and then they're so confused. Mm-hmm. My advice is just, yeah, have your ear to the ground, listen to stuff you like, read stuff you like, and only pick one actual thing to test a month. Don't get overwhelmed. That's how we do it.
Oh, nice. Given, I know a lot of people, this is the first podcast they listen to. So is there another podcast? I'm going to let you do this. Is there another podcast out there you'd recommend to the listeners?
I kind of like, this is kind of not e-commerce related. Dan Locke, he's a consultant. I think he's got some interesting ideas and points that are, I can take in our own business. I actually try not to listen to too many e-commerce podcasts. Mm-hmm. Try to listen to different industries. So that one's pretty good. I'm trying to think if there's another one. Ecom Crew, those guys are e-commerce specific, and we sometimes get ideas or things that I totally disagree with them on. that's usually what happens when I listen to e-commerce. I'm like, oh my God, they're doing that. I'm going to go insane. And then I end up turning it off. So I just, like, you know, I think there's different thought leaders that you can change your perspective on. That's all.
Okay. Excellent recommendations. The traffic top tip next then, which marketing method do either prize above all others or don't think gets the press it deserves?
Well, everyone's talking Facebook ads. I mean, that they work, you know, I can't argue that. I think the biggest assets, like we look at things as pillars and assets. So for us, Facebook group we've got 28,000 strong in that group. And it's that's an ongoing brand building group. It's under the Bomb Tech Golf Group. So that asset, when we first launched like our wedge set, we did no promotion. This is like when there's only two of us. Mm-hmm. And we had like 10,000 members or 8,000. We did one post on a product launch. It did 60K. In one day from one post. So our group is massively powerful. email. So you got to get new traffic in. Facebook ads are good, but really going deep on email. Like, and again, I'm not talking just email blasts and flows. We're talking extreme segmentation. And, you know, like we'll send a certain email, doesn't get engaged with, we'll send a different title. Like there's, and that our email guy could go so technical on it, mm-hmm. but just feel like if you feel, and most owners I talk to are like, man, I'm just emailing too much. There's no such thing. Unless you're emailing, if they really don't want to hear from you, they're going to get off your list anyways. So email them more, right? And just put out content that like overall is a strategy for traffic. Put out content that gets a reaction. Like for us, we're all in on video. Almost every post is video. Mm-hmm. And almost every post gets a ton of hate and a ton of love. And that's what we want. Too many people are scared trying to run in the middle. And if your content and your offer isn't good, I can talk about traffic all day and none of that's going to matter. So You got to get that stuff right and your offer right. And then you can go crazy with ads. A lot of new e-commerce, you know, people that I talk to are like, yeah, I just got to get my ads from. Man, you have no videos. Your offer is crap. You've got no content. It's like you may get lucky, but it's not a long-term, play. So that's what I recommend.
Excellent. And the tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
We honestly use Skype. So I work, I know that's kind of a boring one, but I work from home mostly in the office 3 to 4 days a week. And we always just message ideas on Skype. And that's how I communicate with the entire team and group messages. And then, you know, Klaviyo has been pretty big. And mm-hmm. I know that's a specific e-commerce tool, but the segmentation that it has with BigCommerce in terms of email, again, email is it's a huge piece. And we've done 2.2 million just in email alone this year.
Wow.
So those two things and just having, I think, a flow. I know this isn't a specific tool, but so we've got a flow or a funnel where we have our content person. So I put myself on camera. Our video guy edits. He makes 3 or 4 different variations. He then funnels that to the ad guy. The ad guy makes different variations. We test. Failures, we kill. Things that go well, we amplify. And we just have that funnel. So I come mm-hmm. in, shoot. He edits. He posts. We test. And it's just an ongoing, evolving thing that allows us to test quicker, try things faster, and really having that internal funnel has been huge. And just messaging quickly with Skype, like, yo, I've got this idea. Okay, we got video and at 1 o'clock we'll do boom, let's go.
Another benefit of the doubling down on the things which work. It's like, this works, this is how we're going to do it. Let's just get on with it and stop faffing. Yeah. then the startup top tip. If you met someone this weekend who's thinking of starting an e-commerce business, what would be your first tip for them?
Get a job at an e-commerce company.
Oh, good advice. I mean, learn on someone else's time.
I have so many people that hit me up for this and they're going product. Like if they really want to try, I don't want to tell them no, but I would tell them to get a job at a small company like us. But if you really want to start, don't start with the product, start with your passion. I have so many people hit me up about dropshipping and it's never about the product. You can't chase a trend. If you try to chase fidget spinners, it's going to be too late. If you try to chase Wolf Mugs, whatever it is, it's going to be too late. I did this because I love golf. We're launching a ski brand, some other stuff because I love those. Mm-hmm. And you could talk about it and build a brand and build an audience without having a product, then monetize later. So I tell people, build up a Facebook group, start a YouTube channel, start a page, make content yourself, and just ask for feedback, just like I did way back in 2012. And then at some point, you'll earn the right to offer product or service to someone.
More fantastic advice. Masterplan World, you can find those top tips and links to everything else we've been chatting about in today's episode by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, where you'll see a link to this show. Now, Sully, before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your amazing golf clubs on the web and social media, please?
Sure. So BombTech Golf, BombTechGolf.com. You can email me direct, Sully@BombTechGolf.com, if you guys want to talk. Facebook, Instagram, our group, they're all at BombTech Golf as well.
Okay. And I'm sure several people have been very inspired by your story and how you're running things. You do a bit of consulting as well, don't you? Do you want to let them know how they can get in touch with you if they're interested in getting your opinion on their businesses?
Yeah, sure. So because of, you know, recent interviews and our success getting out there, I just started some consulting to help those that I think I can really help. You know, my goal with this is kind of what I did with golf, where an agency that's actually done it, because I hired and fired so many that had never done it themselves, which is okay. Well, it wasn't for me at the time because I wasted a lot of money and time. But I, at this point in my life, you know, I hope I can help out people that really that want to get there. Because if I can do it, anyone can. So I started a website just called Tyler Sully, TylerSully.com. It just has a quick video about, you know, my five things that we can help with. So if you guys want to hit me up, feel free to fill that out, schedule a call. We are pretty busy, so we're not promoting with ads, just referrals and stuff. But yeah, I just started just because people were hitting me up so much, and I feel very fortunate and grateful to, I mean, go from in my basement, struggling, credit cards maxed out, to being fired from my day job to doing almost eight figures. So if I can pass the torch or the baton on to someone else and they can do that, I mean, that's kind of where I would feel really good, if I can keep doing that and help people, you know, live a life that they want and not work for someone else.
Wow, marvelous. Look, I'll add links to all of that and everything else we talked about today in the show notes. Masterplan World, you can find those at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, or just go to the website, click on the podcast tab, or use the search box. Sully, you've been an absolute star. So much great advice, so much clever insight from that top level view. It's been absolutely brilliant, and your story is phenomenal. So thank you so much for being on the show, and I wish you all the best of luck for 2018.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to do it. I don't get to talk about it, e-commerce, enough. None of my friends, like, we don't talk about e-commerce around dinner table. So no, I really enjoyed it. Hopefully there was some value there, and I appreciate it. Hopefully we do a follow-up one in 2018.
Oh, that sounds like a plan. Offer accepted.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Whew. Wow. That was an amazing story, wasn't it? And I'm aware that several of you may have wanted me to dive into the Facebook ads, or exactly how they went about the huge growth that they're experiencing. But I think you can really take from the interview that how they've gone about growing is by having that laser focus on what's working, how do we do more of it, how do we look after our customer. And I think those are the two key things. What they've found to work is the content. And the best way to get that out to the customer is the emails and the Facebook. And once you've got that model, you've got that sorted in your business, just focusing in and making that as good as it can possibly be is really going to pay dividends. A fantastic interview there from Sully. I'm quite blown, as you can tell from that one, because that's got my brain going. And I promise you, we will get him back on the podcast later on in 2018 to talk about what they're up to now, because I think there's still lots more we can learn from him. Okay, if you've got any questions about this one or anything you want to discuss, then please do join in the chat in our Facebook group, the ecommercemasterplan.com/Facebook. Have a great week, all of you, and keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com.